A very good evening to you on Manx Radio AM 1368. You're listening to Saturday Sport Classified with myself, Rob Pritchard, going through the latest football, rugby and hockey results around the Isle of Man. We're going to start with football, taking a look at things, and we're going to bring in, as ever, Mr. Tony Meppen. Very good evening to you.
Good evening to you, Rob.
Now, I think it's fair to say before we get into anything, we have been absolutely blessed with goals galore across particularly the Prime Plastering Hospital Cup today. And there's also been a selection of league fixtures as ever, part of the catch-up possibly going on with the fixtures at the moment. Well, let's dive straight into it. Let's take a look at what's been going on the Prime Plastering Hospital Cup today. All games kicked off at 2 o'clock, bar one, and we will come to that. The first off we got here was quite a close encounter, wasn't it? Finished St George's 2, Moran 1.
Yeah, didn't have much information coming through during the day on this one, but final score was, as you say, 2-1. Kieran McNulty with the goal for St George's. Josh Kane got one, and Matthew Macquarie it was who got the goal for Moran.
And then quite a few more goals in the next one, but they were all going one way, weren't they? It finished Governors Athletic 0, Corinthians 11.
I think there was something like 4-0 up after about 20 minutes and absolutely flying. Adam McCulloch with four goals today. Joe Marquez got one. Chris Cannell on the score sheet. Joe Middleton, Luke Murray, an own goal. Callum Campbell and also young Callum Taylor on the score sheet as well. It was 6-0 at half-time, 11-0 at the end.
And plenty of goals in the other one. Another 11 goals to be exact, in fact, in this one. Slightly differently distributed, but one comfortable winner in this one. It finished Douglaston District 2, Union Mills 9.
Yeah, and I don't think Union Mills had it their own way throughout the game, because I think the first half, D&D gave quite a good account of themselves. And Daniel Stewart-Clegg got a goal. Lewis Qualcho with an absolute superb one. Halfway line job. Kicked it and straight in, and that's after being 8 or 9 months out through injury, so well done to Lewis. But Union Mills, once the fitness told in the second half, they put in a good shift, and Jordan Crawley with a hat-trick, Luke Booth got two, Jack Murray on the score sheet, Ryan Kelly, Mason Prince I've got here, who's actually their goalkeeper, and Tyler Hughes with a goal as well. So a super result for Union Mills, winning 9-2.
And then elsewhere, moving on, we still had a fair few goals. Not quite as many in this one, but still an entertaining clash nonetheless. It finished Douglas High School All Boys 1, Peel 3.
Yeah, up until sort of the half-hour mark, it was pretty even. Both teams with half chances, nothing happened. But then Matthew Woods on 33 minutes scored a belter, picked it up on the right-hand side, had a first touch, and then just wellied it. It was a good strike. Flew past Sam Holliday to give Peel the lead. And then 2 minutes later, Robert Owen got one. Ball played out to the left-hand side. And he hooked it in with his left foot to the right to the left-hand side of the goalkeeper. So it was 2-0 on 35 minutes. But start of the second half, Old Boys looked a lot better. And Johnny Gartland scored a good goal on 66 minutes. So it started to worry Peel a little bit. And then Old Boys got a penalty. And Dean France took the penalty. Well saved by Owen Dawson. Did he step off the line? To me, yes, he did. Was it a penalty? Tough one to ask, because the player was brought down, but whether it was intent or whether the forward player sort of made it a bit of a meal of it, I'm not too sure. But the penalty, the second one, it was no doubt about it. When it was retaken, Chris Coxon, I think it's still upstairs in the sky somewhere, because it was well and truly over the top of the bar. So Robert Owen got another goal for Peel on the 94th minute. He was rolling subs, so he went off and then came back on. And that was from about 35 yards. Goalkeeper was out, lobbed it over the goalkeeper. 3-1 it was to Peel against Old Boys.
And then going up to the north of the island, it finished Ramsey Youth Centre 2, Douglas Royal 4.
Yeah, good performance by Douglas Royal. No goal scorers for Ramsey Youth Centre. So if you could text us through, please, 166 177. But for Douglas Royal, Dominic McCarry, Brennan, Simon Dooley, Harley Jackson, 16 years of age, first senior goal, so well done to Harley. And Sam Baines was the other goal scorer. Good result for Royal.
And then there was, we did mention the one game wasn't taking place at 2 o'clock today. In fact, it wasn't able to take place at all. We mentioned on Friday Sport Preview last night as well that the game between Michael and Ramsey in the Hospital Cup, that was awarded as a walkover to Ramsey, with Michael unable to field a team, sadly, this weekend. Well, moving on to the next one, and there was one particular face who I think people have become used to seeing causing late drama, I think, in one way or another, but it finished Laxey 1, Russian United 2.
Yeah, certainly was, and we'll come to him in a minute. But Laxey took the lead after 15 minutes. Tiernan Garvey it was who got the goal. And then right the way through the rest of the game up until the last couple of minutes, it was still 1-0 to Laxey. But then Furu Davies scored on 91 minutes and it looked as if it was going to go into extra time. But Furu had other plans and he scored another one, his second of the game, on 93 to take the game to Rushen 2-1 in normal time. Super, super last 2 minutes there for Rushen, but not so good for Laxey.
Now, just looking at the way the people who are listening won't be actually able to see this, but just by the way that our notes are all piled out in front of us, the last game here was quite the spectacle. I think we have to admit, Tony and I, before we came on air this evening, were watching with great intent at the entertainment of this one. What a game this has been. 15 goals, ladies and gentlemen, in this one after extra time. And boy, oh boy, did we get one brilliant finish. It finished Castletown 8, Foxdale 7 after extra time.
Yeah, well, let's have a look at this after 90 minutes. It was 4-4. So the game went into extra time. And I've never known a game where you have 7 goals in extra time. And as one team scored, another one scored. Absolutely incredible. Good commentary by Jed Power, because we watched it on YouTube right the way through. Well done there, Jed, to bring it all to us. But unbelievable. I've had a couple of phone calls about this. They've never seen anything like this in Manx football, and I can't remember anything. And truly incredible. Edson Silva got 3. Alex Crawley got a couple of goals. Danny Lane got 2 as well. And it was Ethan Peel who got the other one for Foxdale. Got some goal scorers. Aaron Castain, I know, got 1. Terry Harrison got a couple of goals. Scott Kameen and Kevin Pullman. But truly incredible the way it went. And it was only probably in the last 2 minutes, Rob, we watched it. Castletown had a couple of good chances. Foxdale had a couple of chances. So it could have been something like 10-9 if it had kept going. But doesn't matter. Castletown have got through. We knew it was going to be tight. Said it might go to extra time. It did. Said it might go to penalties. It was nearly there. Had everything. And Hattie was there. So we'll be able to see all the bits above from Hattie as well. Great game. Great to see in Manx football.
Couldn't look away. We were watching the screen, just could not look away. And I think you're being a bit modest here. This is actually a game that you partially pointed out, I think, last night on Friday Sport Preview as a potential one to watch. I don't think it was quite what you expected.
No, I didn't, because you know, I've taken a bit of stick from one or two Castletown people just saying you haven't had faith in us. They went into the Kirby Estates Cal Cup semi-final on Thursday as well. And everything was sort of being talked about as this Edson Silva. He's 16 years of age, Brazilian. He's come over to the Isle of Man to live with his family. He's got a younger brother, 15, who's on par with him as a footballer. And even FC Isle of Man were down scouting him today, so it just shows. And the reports I've had, he looks good. So he's definitely a player to look out for at 16 years of age. But yeah, I just expect to be tight because Castletown have improved so much. So well done to those players. And, you know, when you look at it sort of a couple of years ago, they were really struggling with their one team and asked for voluntary relegation. And here they are now, sort of, I don't think they'll get promoted. There still might be an outside chance, but certainly the Paul Henry Gold Cup's in there for them. But what a battle today. And when you think it's Foxdale as well, top of the table, I know this is a cup game. What a great game. And yeah, we got it wrong. We got the score near enough right. I said Foxdale would just sneak it. It didn't happen that way, but we knew it was going to be a battle, and it turned out that way. And 8-7, 4-4 in full time. Wow.
Next round of the Hospital Cup. More of the same, please, everybody.
Yes.
Absolutely loved it today. Okay, there were two games as well in Division 2 in the leagues today, both kicked off at 2:30. And the first one we've got up here, convincing winners on the day. It finished Douglas Athletic 0, Onchan 5.
Yeah, I think Onchan know that they've got to keep going at the top of the table, because with St John's, Maloo are in there as well. Foxdale are all there battling away. Castletown as well. Tom Creer with 2 goals today. Paul Whitley got 2 as well. Barry English with the other goal. Well refereed by Peter Kane. Well done there. Peter just come back from injury. Super performance by Onchan, and an all-important 3 points, Rob.
And one result that we've actually just had through in the last couple of seconds. I don't know if you've been sent this personally, Tony, as well, but it finished at Braddon 2, Maloo 3 in the other game in Div 2 today.
Yeah, well, the last time we heard about this game, it was 2-0 to Maloo. So, well, good fight back by Braddon. Don't know any of the goal scorers, so if you could text us through 166177, we'll certainly give them a mention. But great fight back by Braddon. And Braddon will be happy enough with a couple of good young players coming through. They'll look stronger for next season.
Absolutely, there's more football to come tomorrow as well in the Ascot Hotel Junior Cup first round. We will come to that in a little bit, but without further ado, I think it's time that we took a look at the draws for the next round of the Prime Plastering Hospital Cup, but also the Kirby Estates Cowell Cup as well. So, Tony, just remind us, who are the teams left in of the Cowell Cup?
The Kirby Estates Cowell Cup, we're down to the semi-final stage now. Those semi-finals will be played this Thursday. There's four teams left in. I'll mix it up a little bit in my head. We always do the draw numbers in alphabetical order, but we've got Ramsey Youth Centre, St George's, Castletown and Peel. And I think you've got the bag there with four balls in it, so we can do the semi-final draws for these four teams to find out where they'll be playing on Tuesday and who they'll be playing.
Absolutely, have the balls in front of me here, and if you're ready to go, we shall proceed. Absolutely, absolutely.
Well done.
A first foray into directing a draw, as it were. Okay, the first number out is number four.
And number four is the team that won 7-0 on Thursday, St George's.
And they will play number two.
Number two is Peel.
Next home tie for number three.
Number three is Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys, who... Incredible game. I don't know if you saw the score, but Ramsey were 2-0 up and Ramsey Youth Centre ended up 3-2 winners. So super fight back by Youthy.
Absolutely.
And the last one out.
And of course, last but certainly not least, number one.
Is Castletown. So those games will be played this Thursday. First one out of the bag was St George's at home against Peel. And the second semi-final is Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys against Castletown.
I'm just taking a brief look at those before we move on to the next draw for the Hospital Cup. Which particular fixture out of those stands out, if not both of them?
I think the Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys against Castletown is probably a closer game, I say that. But Castletown, most of their first team players are actually playing in the Cowell Cup. So at the moment, you possibly edge it towards Castletown. St George's against Peel. I think when you know, you sort of looked at Douglas Royal, you saw their squad and you saw St George's beat them, I just thought there's the possible favourites. But Peel have got a lot of good young players in there, and they were on show today. Jake Robertshaw, you've also got Harry Pack in there, you've got Tom Dowling, all sort of good players, and Jake Robertshaw as well, as well as St George's. A lot of first team experience in there, and I think certainly St George's against Peel is going to be tight, and I think Ramsey Youth Centre Castletown is going to be a close game as well.
Well, without further ado, let's move on to the next one, the Prime Plastering Hospital Cup next round. We have eight teams in.
Can you give the bag a shuffle, please?
I am indeed.
Good
just
man.
As we speak. Good as
man.
We speak. Okay, so the first ball out is number eight.
And number eight is Union Mills.
And they will play number seven.
Number seven is St George's.
Next one out, a home tie for number six.
Number six is Rushen.
And they will play number three.
Number three is Douglas Royal. Third game.
The third game at home is number five.
Number five is Ramsey, who got a bye today.
And they will host number four.
Number four is Peel. Last game.
Two remaining. And it's a home tie for number one.
Number one is Castletown.
And last, but certainly not least, they'll be home to number two.
And number two is Corinthians. I'll go through that draw for you again. First game out, Union Mills will have a home game against St George's. Rushen will play Douglas Royal. Ramsey at home against Peel. And the final game, the big winners today, Castletown, Division 2, will play Corinthians from the Premier League.
Excellent. So ask you the same question on this one as I did for the Cowell Cup. Which fixtures, if any, is it one, two or several that stand out to you?
I think all of them, they're all good fixtures there, because Union Mills against St George's, they've hit a bit of good form. Union Mills lately scoring plenty of goals. They've beaten St George's already this season. But St George's have got one or two players back in there, so they're looking strong. Kieran McNulty's in good form. So we'll go for St George's on that. Rushen against Douglas Royal. They've had close battles, but I think Rushen again have got players that they can bring in. So we'll see how that one goes. But Rushen must start off as slight favourites. Ramsey against Peel, close game. These two played each other not too long ago. Peel have got players to come back in. No Reece Oates today, no Lee Gale today. They were injured. So I've got to maybe just edge it towards Ramsey if they're not full strength. Castletown against Corinthians. Certainly Castletown have no fear at the moment. They're playing really well. The only thing that worries me with Castletown is the amount of games that they're playing, because they've got Div 2 games. They've got Combination 2 games as well. Cal Cup semi-finals, Cal Cup quarter-finals, and now they're into the quarter-final of the Plain-Plastern Hospital Cup. It's got to take its toll a little bit, but you just have to edge it towards Corinthians.
And just for a little bit of clarity, when will the quarter-finals be played?
The quarter-finals will be played next Saturday, so a week today, 2 o'clock kick-off, and the Kirby Estates semi-finals, as we touched on before, they'll be played this Thursday, the 5th of May.
Excellent. For those who may have just missed it, the draws then for the quarterfinals of the Prime Plastering Hospital Cup. The game is to be played on the weekend of the 7th of May, so next weekend. And the draw for the quarterfinals is Union Mills versus St George's, Rushen versus Douglas Royal, Ramsey versus Peel, and Castletown versus Corinthians. And in the Kirby Estates Cal Cup, to be played this coming Thursday, the 5th of May, the semi-finals, they are St George's versus Peel and Ramsey Youth Centre versus Castletown. Well, while we've got a bit of time, we'll take a look ahead to some of the football being played tomorrow. And in the spotlight tomorrow, of course, is the Ascot Hotel Junior Cup first round. And taking a look at some of the fixtures, Tony, we'll start with Corinthians versus Douglaston District.
I think you've just got to go for Corinthians. They've got a good young players in there, but they are the Premier League. Douglaston District, combination two, a lot of the players. It's hard to judge how strong they're going to be. But, you know, Corinthians' next crop are coming through. Jaden Armitage, Kai Jones. You've got Joe Middleton, who played today. He can play in this, I'm sure. Lewis Radcliffe and Callum Taylor, who played for the first team today. So I've just got a funny feeling that Corinthians will just take this.
Well, one of the ties we did have was Pulrose United versus Peel. It's actually been awarded as a walkover to Peel, as Pulrose unable to field a team, I believe.
Yeah, they've been. It's getting players qualified. It's only sort of four, but they've missed out, I think, a couple of times, and some players not available. Peel, to me now, are one of the favourites in this competition. You've still got old boys in there to look out for as well. So Peel get a bye into the next draw, but certainly I think it would have been a tough game for Pulrose to deal with.
Okay, then moving on, we have Laxey versus St John's United.
This is one I'm interested to see how this one goes, because St John's, and congratulations to them in winning the Combination 2 title this week. And they play Onchan on Wednesday. Hopefully the trophy will be presented then. But, you know, Matthew Venables, Stuart Morrison have done a great job there with a lot of good young players in there. Andy Bell pulled off a wonderful save midweek. He'll probably play in sticks. And when you've got people like Liam Sale, Jamie Crook there as well. St John's will make it difficult for Laxey. They've not had the greatest seasons in Combination 1. But I just wonder if St John's have got enough here. And that might be the incentive for them. And that's why I'm going to go for John's to win.
And then up in the north of the island, we have Ramsey, and they are at home against Jim's.
Yeah, and Ramsey won 8-1 against Moran last time. So it proves that they've got a good side, just like their first team. A lot of good young players in there. I just think Jim's will find it too tough there, Div 2. You know, Ramsey are Combi 1, so I just see Ramsey winning it.
And then we have Douglas Royal, and they host Maloo.
Yeah, and Douglas Royal, again, have got some good young players coming through in there. Some experienced old hands in there as well, Paddy Dempsey being one of them. But they beat Castan in the last round. Maloo, not too sure what players have got qualified. I know there's one or two being missing from them. Go for Royal to win.
Then down south, Colby, they will be hosting Douglas Old Boys.
Yeah, and Colby have been going quite well in this. What, they're eighth in the Combination 2 league, as where Douglas High School Old Boys are third. They beat Rushen last time, and they lost 5-1 to Peel in the week. So I just thought to myself, you know what? I think Old Boys might have a strong team in here, so we'll see how it goes. But so have Colby. They've been scoring plenty of goals. Jordan Edge has been hitting good form in front of goal. David Thomas, Tom Walton, Seb Spears has been scoring plenty as well. Colby will make it difficult, but I'm going to go for Douglas High School Old Boys to win.
And then two other fixtures in the first round, starting off Douglas Athletic hosting Onchan.
Yeah, Onchan second in Combi 2. Douglas Athletic just below them. Again, I'm not too sure how strong Onken's combination team is, but they're not second in the league by sort of having a weak team, so I'm going to go for Onken to beat Douglas Athletic.
And rounding off the first round, it's Ayr United versus Ramsey Youth Centre.
Yeah, and both teams, it's their first games in this competition because Ayr had a walkover last week and Ramsey Youth Centre had a walkover against Governors Athletic. Local derby, it's all to play for, but I just think Ayr United will win this.
All right, and I suppose we have to get on to the subject just to round things off in the last couple of minutes here. Of course, FC Isle of Man are travelling this bank holiday weekend to play Lancashire-based club AFC Darwin in the quarterfinals of the First Division Challenge Cup. And we at Manx Radio will have you covered for the full 90 minutes. We'll be providing full live match commentary of AFC Darwin versus FC Isle of Man from 1:45pm on Monday, the 2nd of May, this coming Monday, that is, on our AM 1368 and digital platforms. Now, Tony, it still feels like yesterday we were talking about FC Isle of Man week in, week out. Obviously, the success of the league campaign is now behind them, and now there's a chance to focus on potential cup glory.
Yeah, it's great. And when you look at this cup journey, you know, some of the fixtures came in really at the wrong time for them, didn't it? Because they've played the younger players. But my word, the younger players have acquitted themselves really well. And they brought one or two sort of, I wouldn't say older, Carl Clark's not old, but more experienced players in to help things out. And when you look at himself and Jamie Corlett, sort of at the back, have kept things nice and tight going forward. Ronan McDonald's done really well. And it's great to see the younger players coming through because they're going to be the future of FC Isle of Man. And they've done themselves proud and looking forward to the quarterfinal. And I didn't realise until, you know, I saw the draw that if they win that, then the semi-finals is on the Isle of Man. And then if they win that, the final's here on the Isle of Man. So can we get 3,000 people in that stadium for another two occasions? We'll wait and see. Massive game for them on Monday. Bank holiday Monday. And if no one can make it over there, it's going to be difficult because the boats are pretty full, I think. And they can listen to yourself and me on Manx Radio and we'll bring them all the news as it happens.
Absolutely. Well, as we understand, there is a good amount of travelling support heading there. It'd be fantastic to see as many Ravens fans down there as possible cheering on FC Isle of Man. And just one final question around this, just to wrap up the FC Isle of Man subject up. You've touched on it yourself. The fact that the, as you mentioned, younger players, maybe the less regular players, have been getting a chance in these cup competitions and being able to deliver against teams playing at the same level as FC Isle of Man have faced all season. Cheadle Town, of course, in that second round, they are in the same division, as were Sandbach United in the previous round from this one. They're also, and of course, beat FC Isle of Man at the Bowl, the only team to do that in the league or in any competition this season. And these much-changed FC Isle of Man sides have been able to deliver. How much confidence do you think that'll give Chris Bass and Lee Dixon going forward, that the quality is there?
Well, I think it's a massive lift for them, but I think anyone who follows Manx football knew that you know, the team was strong, you know, the first team, and there was a glut of players behind them, younger players coming through who could equip themselves really well, and that's what they've done because they want to be part of it, so they've got to play out of their skins, and some of them have done that. You know, when you look at Charlie Higgins, you know, at the start of the season it was a little bit sort of in and out, wasn't he? And then a couple of incredible games and then he was flying. Unfortunately, he got injured. But I think it bodes well for Chris and Lee. There's a lot of quality players there and all they've got to do is, you know, go out, try their best and playing against a team that finished mid-table in the North League, I think they'll do it.
Absolutely, we'll wait and see anyway. So yes, AFC Darwin versus FC Isle of Man kickoff at 1:45pm at the Anchor Ground on Monday, the 2nd of May, this coming Monday. Manx Radio will have you covered, providing full live match commentary of the game on our AM 1368 and digital platforms. Well, Tony, a pleasure as ever, and I'll be catching you up with you for the journey on Monday.
Manx Radio Sport, driven by Rex Motor Company. Find your dream car by visiting rexmotorcompany.in today or find us on Facebook.
Well, turning now to hockey, and it's the thrilling finale this weekend, the final league games of the season, the final division titles and relegations being decided today. And I'm delighted to be joined, I believe he is here, Sam Spooner. Very good afternoon to you.
Hi, Rob.
Okay, well, let's get straight into it, I think is the best way to put it. So we'll take a look, starting off with the Rossborough Women's Premier League for today's results. The first game was at 12:30 and it finished Ramsey A1, Backers A 0.
Yeah, fantastic way to end the season for Ramsey A. They've had a tough year this year. That's their first win in six games so far, in the past six games. Kira Cosgrave on the score sheet for Ramsey. Nothing really can change in the league tables. That's a great way to end the season. It gives them great strength going into next year.
And then we take a look at Valkyriesby, already relegated in that division at 2 o'clock, and it finished Valkyriesby 3, Castletown A 5.
Yeah, fantastic effort by Valkyriesby. And this has been the Valkyriesby's, they've been fantastic in this way. Their effort's been unreal. They've been rewarded with some really good goals. That's 12 goals they've scored this season. It's only three less than Ramsey A, who finished 7 points ahead of them. But Castane on top form this weekend. 3-2 at half-time, 5-3 full-time. Helena Allen with two, Dulcie Tier with two, and Alex Keller with the third.
And the final game of the Rossborough Women's Premier League this season. The already crowned champions going into today, Vikings A. They took on Valkyries A, and they weren't going to have the season finish in quite as smooth a fashion as possible. Valkyries putting up a right fight here, but it finished Vikings A 2, Valkyries A 1.
Yeah, Valkyries A, they are a better team than their points tally suggests. And they had a really, really good second half. It was 2-0 at half-time to Vikings A, and just thought Vikings A always have that extra step to go on, to go into that extra gear. But Valkyries A, second half, Rachel Lucas managed to grab a goal in the second half. They couldn't quite get the equaliser they wanted, but Vikings A's goal scorers were Zoe Crow and Danny Coombs.
OK, and before we move on to the Rossborough Men's Premier League, could you just round up what that means for the end of the season, for the Women's Premier League?
So Vikings A, they were declared champions 2 weeks ago. Valkyries A are in second place with 20 points. Castletown A remain in third with 17 points. Brackers A stay in fourth place with 11 points. Ramsey A have 9 points. And Valkyries B, who are relegated despite their huge efforts, with 2 points.
All right, then we move on to the Rossborough Men's Premier League. Now, this was one of the couple of divisions that was still to be decided going into the final weekend. There were three games down, but two only took place. We found out yesterday that the half-12 pushback between already relegated Valkyries B and then Ramsey A, that was awarded to Ramsey A as a 5-0 walkover. Valkyries unable to field a team. Well, the other game that was scheduled in for half 12 did go ahead, and that finished Vikings A 4, Valkyries A 1.
Yeah, a huge, great effort by Valkyries A. I was talking to the captain, Kieran Gell, before the game, because I was down at the NSC before their game, and he was saying that they really struggled for players on Wednesday. I think he said they didn't have a goalkeeper and they only had 6 outfield players. That was a great effort by Valkyries A. They did lose 4-1, but it could have been worse. The result afterwards, that's coming afterwards, will tell you that. But Vikings A, they did enough to do what they needed to do, but they didn't end up as champions. They do, of course, take home second place. Tom Wilson with two, Dom Hubble and Tim Henderson on the score sheet for Vikings A.
Well, yes, we are going to move on to the other all-important results in the Rossborough Men's Premier League. It involved Backers A. Now, going into this weekend, they were firmly in the driving seat to maintain the Men's Premier League title. And, well, they've finished off the season in emphatic style, haven't they? Because it finished Vikings B 1, Backers A 13.
Yeah, such a golfing class. And Vikings B, a couple of under-16s players weren't available today. So the Dougal twins went flying up to the under-16s game up north to try and win the title there. But ultimately, Backers A, deserved winners. That's 18 times in 21 years now they've won that Premier League, that top-flight title, 12 in a row. If anybody's going to stop this Backers A side, they're going to have to stop tripping over each other. The likes of Vikings A and Valkyries A, one of them has got to come to the fore and stop taking points off each other if they have any chance of catching Backers A. Vikings A are probably the closest in that regard, but they always seem to fall at one game during the season. But Vikings B, heroic effort by them. They were on the back foot for the whole game, but they did manage to get a goal, so a well-taken short corner passed from Charlie Bell into Lee Cowell's path, who managed to push that into the back of the net. But Backers A's goal scorers, Carl Moore with four, and he must be near enough one of the top goal scorers. Him and Tom Wilson must be pretty close. Gareth Craig with two, Andy Whiting with two, Jamie Brown with two, Chris Bass, Johnny Callum and Dave Whiting all with one each.
And how then, Sam, does that leave the Rossborough Men's Premier League right at the end of the season?
So with Backers A at the top on 27 points, Vikings A in second on 25 points, Balkis A in third on 19 points, Ramsey A in fourth with 13 points, Vikings B in fifth on 6 points, and Balkis B at the bottom with 0 points.
Okay, and then we move on to the Rossborough Women's Division 1. Two games today, and the first of those was at 11 o'clock, the early one, and it was an absolute belter, this one. Backers B5, Castletown B5.
Yeah, Castletown B already declared champions on Thursday night, but they had a right fight today to get the point from that game. Backers B, 3-1 up at half-time. Laura Corker with 2. And then Lucy Cartwright, who scored in for more than one Backers team today, with Ellie Pearson Bass and Helen Neal on the score sheet for Backers B. Well, Castan B came roaring back in that second half. 4 goals he scored in that second half. Sophie Van Hooven with a hat-trick, Alex Crowley and Ruby McCubbin on the score sheet for Castletown B.
And the other game in that division was between Vikings B and Harlequins. It started at 3:30. A couple of games starting today at 3:30. And at the time that we came on air this afternoon, we were still waiting for a couple of results to come in. We are still awaiting the results of this game in particular, Vikings B versus Harlequins in Women's Division 1. Sam, can you update us?
Yeah, that was 6-1 to Harlequins. I don't quite have the Harlequins goal scorers yet, but as it was a late game, I let them off. That does mean they finish in second place, level on points with Castletown B. However, Castletown B have a much better head-to-head record. But that was a fantastic effort by Harlequins. Vikings B, goal scorer is Faye Williams.
Okay, and how does that leave the Rossborough Women's Division 1 then at the end of the campaign?
In first place on head-to-head record, Castletown B with 18 points. Harlequins in second place, 18 points. Vikings B in third place with 11 points. Backers B, after a late season resurgence, that's 4 wins in 5 games they've had now, with 11 points. Before that, they were hovering above. They were hovering in the relegation zone, and they were struggling. But the past five games, they've emphatically come roaring back in the second half of the season. Balkis C, unfortunately, despite their huge efforts again, they scored no points and finished bottom.
Okay, let's move on to the Rossborough Men's Division 1. And at 12:30, another fantastic game. Goals galore, as it were. 9, in fact, in total. And it was already crowned champions Backers B, 4. Harlequins A, 5 at Castle Rushen High School.
Yeah, Harlequins, when you look at their form, they've won the 5 out of 5 in the last... Sorry, 5 games. They've won 5 games out of the past 5. And Backers, they've only won 4. But when you look at Harlequin's early season form, if they'd have replicated this second half of the season form, they'd be right up there in a title fight. And I've got to say, Harlequin's A are my title favourites already for next season. If they can keep hold of those young players they've got coming through, they are going to be a force to be reckoned with, especially with the way they've matured this year really, really well. Great result for Harlequin's A, great result to end on. Backers B, they're not going to wear it too much. I saw a couple of them down at their first team game later on at King Williams College, and they went 2-1 after they knew they'd won the league. Goal scorers for Backers B were Craig Lees with 3 and Will Wood. And the goal scorers for Harlequins A were Aaron Blakemore with 2, George Powell, Ronan Santanatolia and Corey Corkill.
All right, and then the other game in Rossborough Men's Division 1 at 12:30, it finished Vikings C 4, Castletown B 0.
Yeah, and I've got the goal scorers of Vikings C, Josh Dougal with 2 right at the end of the game. One of them was incredible with his back to goal, 180-degree spin on the pivot with his toes and managed to smash it into the back of the net. The goalkeeper in defence didn't stand a chance. It just came from nowhere. And then Ian Perry and Andy Harding, the old heads of the team, scoring as well. But I've got a text from Alistair Henry, one of the Castletown B players today. A really good game to end the season on today between Castletown B and Vikings C. Played in the right spirit with some great displays of sportsmanship from both sides. And he had a word with me at the sidelines, and he said, Vikings number 32, which is a young lad, age 14, 15, called Alex Andrew, along with the twins, i.e. Josh and Ben Dougal, made a mockery of him on several occasions. The young man's footwork was exceptional, always getting round to a strong side and pinging it out to inch-perfect passes or deftly flicking it over my stick. He made me feel every second of my age. And I just thought that was fantastic to pick out some of the kids in that team that are doing incredibly well. They are actually playing in the Premier League as well, and I think one or two of them have made their debut for our first team this year too.
Always good to hear positive feedback as a young player. I know that myself from playing hockey over the years. Well, okay, how does that leave then the Rossborough Men's Division 1 table at the end of the season?
So at the end of the season, Backers B are top with 20 points. Castletown Men's A in second with 18 points. Harlequins Men's A, next year's champions, I am sure of that. I won't stake my house on it, but I'll stake my career on it. In third place with 15 points. Vikings Men's C in fourth place with 6 points. And Castletown Men's B, bottom with 1 point.
Okay, then we're moving on to what I think you've said on a couple of occasions is possibly your favourite division of all this season, the Rossborough Women's Division 2. And the first game today in that division was at 11 o'clock and it finished Vikings C 2, Castletown C 1.
Yeah, Vikings C were 2-0 up in no time at all. But there was a bit of a distraction on the sideline. I was looking after the captain. I was looking after mine and the captain's baby. And she ran off. I had to go chasing after her. So the team got distracted and then conceded a goal from Castletown B. The second half, no goals. And Vikings C did everything they needed to do. They knew they needed to win and hope that Backers C would lose to Ramsey B. Jan Carney and Dee Gimbert on the score sheet for Vikings C. And Claire Heath with Castletown B's goal score.
And the other game at 2 o'clock. And that finished Backers C 4, Ramsey B 0.
Yeah, Backers C, I think they've only led the league for one week this season. Vikings C or Castletown, Colts have led the way pretty much the whole season. Their form's been incredible throughout the second half of the season. They've put themselves right at the top of the table. They're 1 point clear of Vikings C, and 4-0. Sam Franklin with 2. Lucy Cartwright will be hearing, we've heard from her already, and Louise Meller on the score sheet from Backers C, and Backers C get promoted and are champions.
And of course, as you mentioned on a couple of occasions over the last few weeks, there were at one point around 4 teams in the running for the title, and that came down to a 2-horse race right at the end. So Sam, tell us, how does the Women's Division 2 table look at the end?
Backers C are champions with 16 points. Vikings C are second with 15 points. Castletown Colts are third with 14 points, so 2 points separating the top three sides. Ramsey B in fourth place with 8 points. Castletown C in fifth with 7 points.
Very well. 2 divisions left to look at on this final league weekend in Manx hockey. We'll go to Rossborough Men's Division 2. There were originally 3 games down this weekend. That's actually gone down to just 1. We found out the other day that the 2 o'clock pushback between Ramsey B and Valkyries C, that's been awarded as a 5-0 walkover to Ramsey, with Valkyries C unable to field a team. And the same situation with the 3:30 pushback today. Harlequins B, the champions, they were due to travel to Backers C. That's been awarded as a walkover to Harlequins because Backers C were unable to field a team. So there was only 1 fixture left to look at. That was also 3:30, and it was the Battle of the Colts, and it was Backers Colts who came out on top right at the end of the season. Backers Colts 6, Castletown Colts 0.
Yeah, fine season from Backers Colts. They have finished 9 points behind Harlequins in the lead, but they've managed to steal that second place and make it their own in the past couple of weeks. And 6 goals this week. Harry Kalin with 2. And I have to say, he's one of the most natural finishers I have ever seen on a hockey pitch. He's just always in the right place at the right time. Nothing's overly extravagant. And if he keeps maturing at the rate he's going, he's going to be in the Backers first team in no time at all. Sean Corlett with 2. Doug Quayle and the young Will Wiseman on the score sheet for Backers Colts as well.
Very good. So how does the table look for the Rossborough Men's Division 2 then at the end of the season?
Now, Harlequins Men's B are top with 28 points. Backers Colts are second with 19 points. Massive gulf there. I think that's the highest difference between the top two teams across all the leagues. Ramsey B are in third with 14 points. Valkyries C in fourth with 12 points. Castletown Colts in fifth place with 11 points. And Backers C bottom with 6 points.
And last, but by no means least, we move on to the Rossborough Mixed Under-16 2. The early start was an 11 o'clock pushback, and it finished Harlequins 5, Castletown 1.
Yeah, and Harlequins knew all they needed to do was win today to take the title. They've got a better head-to-head record against Vikings in second place, and they've absolutely smashed it. Corey Corkill, who we've mentioned for their first team already, Gemma Quayle and Sean Dowling, Caleb Blackmore with 2. But Cass Towns goal scorer, I haven't got Cass Towns goal scorer yet, but I have. That might be on my phone now, but I haven't seen it as yet.
Well, I can confirm to you the Cass Town goal scorer. It was Elliot Butler. And before we move on to the next game, I believe I just missed out that a moment ago. Could you just tell us how the Rossborough Men's Division 2 table has finished?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, Harlequins Men's B, 28 points in first place. Backers Colts, 19 points in second place. Ramsey B, 14 points in third place. Barkaya C, 12 points in fourth place. Cass Town Colts, 11 points in fifth place. And Backers C, 6 points in sixth place.
Very well, thank you very much. And moving back then to the Rossborough Mixed Under 16-2, half three pushback between Backers and Valkyries. We didn't have that result as we went on air. Do we have an update on this one?
We do. Backers 2, Valkyries 1. Backers, that doesn't really change anything in the league table. Valkyries were guaranteed third place and Backers couldn't be caught by the teams below them. But great results to end the season on. Abraham Maddox and Sienna Millwood on the score sheet for Backers, and Valkyries was Connie Graham.
Moving on to the final game, the Rossborough Mixed Under 16-2. It finished, I've got here, Ramsey Rogues and Rascals 1, Vikings 4.
Yeah, no, really tough on Vikings. They knew they needed to win, and but by the time they started their game, they knew there was nothing they could do. But Alfie Melling got on the score sheet for Ramsey Rogues and Rascals. Josh Dougal with 2 after his heroics for the Vikings men's C team. Ben Dougal's twin brother on the score sheet as well. And Cameron Room on the score sheet for the Vikings under 16s. It's worth noting. Same as the Harlequin side as well. I think at least 3 of those goal scorers played in their first team. Josh Dougal played for Vikings C, scored 2. Ben Dougal also played in that game. And Cameron Room played in the 13-1 loss for Vikings B against Backers A. So that's a huge effort from those young lads.
Well, Sam, thanks very much once again. And just to round things off, I guess, as final weekends go, grand finales, how was this one? Where does it rank amongst the others?
Oh, well, I played this one, so I'm absolutely knackered today. But you know what? I think it's just the results and the text I'm getting and the levels of sportsmanship shown today. You know, it's just one of those... I think people are glad to come to the end of a long, hard, arduous season. And I know many of the players are already involved in cricket, so they're keen to get involved in that. But it's been a good day today. There's been some great results, some great performances throughout the season by teams that who may have been relegated or haven't achieved what they wanted to achieve. Well, that shouldn't cheapen their efforts this year, because I've seen some fantastic performances. I pick out Valkyries B in the Rossborough Women's Premier League as a prime example. I've seen some brilliant performances from them, but they've just been unlucky on occasion. You know, and it's been a fantastic season, a great day to end it.
Well, I'm sure we'll be taking a look at things in more detail next week, have a bit of a roundup of the season. Sam, thank you very much once again.
Thank you very much.
Manx Radio Sport, driven by Rex Motor Company. Find your dream car by visiting rexmotorcompany.in today, or find us on Facebook.
Well, rounding things off this evening, we're going to be turning to Manx Rugby. Now, Douglas, we're going to have the conclusion of what has been a very challenging season. They took on Broughton Park today at Portishee. Meanwhile, we had the semi-finals in the Ravenscroft competitions. They near their conclusion as well, and he's been waiting very patiently for the last few minutes. And hopefully we can now say hi to Dave Christian. Dave, very good evening to you.
Yeah, good evening, Rob. I wouldn't say I was waiting patiently at all. I was in danger of doing some severe damage to a piece of computer hardware. I think the enter key on the keyboard's got stuck, and every time you open a document, it suddenly expands to about 150 pages. Quick change of keyboards managed to do it, though, so I'm all good now. End of the season for Douglas, or is it? I haven't had any confirmation from Portishee yet, but I do notice when I chucked into englandrugby.com just to check the score accuracy, I do see that they have an away fixture scheduled away at Kendal next Saturday. I'm not sure exactly what's going to happen with that one, but I do know that in North One West today, I can sense there's some steam running out of all the teams in the league. Birkenhead Park were due to play Wilmslow. That's gone recorded as a home walkover. And Vale of Loon were down to play Carlisle, and that's been recorded as a home walkover as well. So I sense in a no relegation and promotion already sorted with Stockport home and hosed, 24 points clear of everybody else. I think the The enthusiasm for the season is perhaps on the wane now, particularly as pitches get harder. Not good news for Douglas today. Didn't really expect much. I hoped against hopes that they might pull a result off, but they've lost 46-10 at home to Broughton Park. No details from Douglas just as yet. I know coach Tom Waterworth has messaged me to say he's away and his replacement's not up to scratch. That's all I'll say. But I'll have words with them later. But, no match information from them, I'm afraid. But 46-10, it's a bonus point win for Broughton Park. Doesn't improve Douglas's league position, so there's no bonus points for them in it. But it doesn't actually improve Broughton Park's position either. They're in 8th place and not going to move up to 7th. And I'm not convinced that we'll see the Douglas-Kendall game take place. I think Kendall was the match where the Logan Air flight they were on was cancelled due to some technicality with the aircraft, which means that they may still have the flights in the bank. The worst case scenario was the Altrincham-Kersal game when Altrincham travelled over here and they couldn't play because the pitch wasn't fit. You're not going to get any money back from the airline there, but if the flights are already there, then they may go up to Kendall and play the game. But I'll wait and get confirmation from that in the week, but it should be Douglas's season over. They're going to finish in 13th place. There's no relegation, so that's not an issue for them. Carlisle are below them, and Carlisle would have finished below them anyway, but have had a 25-point deduction for what would appear to be a number of rule infringements. But even with those 25 points restored, they would still feature below Douglas. They're currently on -6. So Douglas not quite finished bottom. There's going to be a little bit of hard work for them over the season to get ready for next season, where there will be promotion and relegation to contend with. We'll have to wait and see how that progresses. I mean, we heard from Bryn Snellgrove last week. Bryn saying the enthusiasm just wasn't quite there with some of the players of around about his age grade, who just were not too enthused about actually playing. And that's understandable. Everybody's got a lot of things to do. Bryn's got a young family as well. So, you know, you're not going to hold that against the guys. But next season, they will have to graft a little bit harder, perhaps, and try and pick up some more bonus points. We looked at that at preview and lunchtime. They've only got 5 bonus points. And, you know, Altrincham-Kersal, not too far above them, have actually got 24 bonus points. Take those 24 bonus points away from Altrincham-Kersal and they're down at Douglas's level in the table. So there's something to work on for them. Score some more tries and try and finish a bit closer to the opposition. And maybe we'll see some of the more senior players actually stick their hands up next season. Domestically, though, what a game I was at down at Ballykillia. It was a Manx Cup semi-final and it was a proper cup tie. Had a little bit of everything. There was even a red card at the end after a multiple player handbag session, I'm going to call it, because I don't think there was a real fight in there. That was frustration, I guess, on behalf of the Nomads players. But it was actually one of the Vagabonds lads who got sent off, Connor Coulthard. But it was after the final play of the game, so it didn't really have any effect on the match. Liam Savage got the ball rolling for Nomads early on, but his try was cancelled out almost immediately when Hope Chirengua went in at the other end. Tom Collister then went over for Nomads. That put them back in front, converted by Mark Young. They led 12-5. But Connor Coulthard grabbed one for Vagas just before half-time. And when they turned around, Nomads were 12-10 in front. Lucas Simmons and Mark Young traded penalties early in the second half. And with just over 10 minutes to play, Nomads were leading 15 points to 13. Chirengua then grabbed his second of the match with an interception from 50 metres. That put Vagabonds in front, but then Tom Collister went down at the other end, scored his second of the game for Nomads, and they were leading 20 points to 18. Just over 5 minutes to go, Ryan Dullaharp went in for Vagabonds. Lucas Simmons added the conversion, and with 4 minutes left, they were ahead 25-20. As Nomads flung everything into attack, as you would expect in the last few minutes, Cam Finlay found a gap for Vagabonds. He slammed in at the other end, and that sealed the results with only seconds left on the watch. And Lucas Simmons' final conversion was just icing on the cake. 32-20 is probably a fair reflection of the game. I'm not necessarily sure that the Nomad supporters would also would agree with that, but that's how I seen it. It was really, really close. And, the try in the closing seconds that Cam Finley scored, it's not affected the outcome of the match and just makes the scoreboard look a little bit more flattering because that game was really, really tight. Not so tight in the Manx Plate, however, the Ravenscroft Manx Plate. Ramsey B will face emerging Nomads in the final. Ramsey beat Western Vikings 50-7 in the Groundhog game at the Murrick Park. Exact repeat from last week. Scoreline slightly different though. Ramsey led 14-0 at half time, so that's really tight. Only two scores in it. Danny Howard and Jake Richmond with the tries. Fintan Cummins with the conversions. Early in the second half, the young scrum half at Ramsey, who's a tremendous prospect, he looks. Nathan Robson, he went over for his third try in two games. And Fintan Cummins converted that. That's Ramsey ahead 21-0. And in the final 20 minutes, they just ran away with it. Very similar to last week as well. Looks like Western Vikings just not quite at the fitness level required to stay for the full 80. Just a little bit of a collapse in the last 20 minutes. Magnus Black went in for Ramsey. He went in twice. Josh Kateen went in twice. Abu Magoda got one in between. Robson added a conversion in that. And in amongst all that, Vikings did get a consolation try. That was from prop Josh Hockney. He scored last week as well. And skipper Ed Knight added the conversion. So it's commiseration to Western Vikings. Ramsey march on. We got Ramsey and Ramsey B both in the Ravenscroft finals. The finals take place on the 14th of May at Ramsey as well. And that's just on the annual rotation of the ground. So big day there set for Ramsey on the 14th. Emerging Nomads won 50-14 against Vagabonds Hornets. Two tries apiece for Mike Crane, Alex Long, Will Tazier and Gaz Watt, with Alex Long adding five conversions. And nobody from Vagas has given me any details of their scorers, so I can't mention them at all. But Ramsey B, Emerging Nomads for the Ravenscroft Manx Plate, and Ramsey versus Vagabonds for the big one, the Manx Cup final, coming up on the 14th of May.
Comprehensive as always from Dave Christian there. Dave, thank you very much, and we'll be catching up with you again very, very soon. That is all we have time for on Saturday Sport Classified today here on Manx Radio AM 1368. We'll now be handing back over to Christy DeHaven over on our FM frequency. Thank you very much for joining us once again, and until next time, have yourself a very good Saturday evening. Have a great bank holiday weekend. Until next time, bye for now.